It's just the fact that he played 5 years at SMU, had 2 1,000-yard seasons, and scored 23 touchdowns in his last season. You know, and that's, to me, you know, when I saw Myles Gaskin go late, but I know he was productive, I was like, okay, well, a lot of the times the productive running backs, even like a Benny Snell, who I don't think is athletic or really will do anything in the NFL, when they get opportunity, they do something. I don't know what that is, but they'll do something, and they'll be in your starting lineup if you need them.
Right.
So that's why I think he's worth to at least look at, you know, so you have his name on your radar when free agency comes around and another Rams running back gets hurt.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long. With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum. Nothing is in a vacuum.
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Baby, they come. Wait, three.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 202, here as always with the feverish Fanero.
What's up, Swags? Are we going to do this show without Dave again, or maybe bring somebody in?
We have to. Dave didn't appreciate the vacated Target show.
So he hated that show, yeah.
We'll be absent Dave again. We brought in a ringer to fill his shoes. I'm going to try to get this all right. I'm going to try to roll with it. I'm more of a conductor than an introducer, so I'm sure I'll mess this up. We have Jason DiRienzo.
Wow.
Purpose Scout, NFL College Football Evaluator, writer at Devy Watch, sophomore leap at Scouting Academy. And you also can hear his voice. That's one place you could hear his voice. That is a part of that. He's a co-host and at Big Play and Anatomy. I knew I.
That's anatomy.
I knew what it was too. Like, I hate that word. Like,
anatomy is a funny word. You're right.
How did I do?
Okay, first off, the fact that you got my last name absolutely correct negates the fact that you didn't say anatomy right. So you nailed it. Like, they cancel each other out. So in that sense, you did absolutely
perfect. The listeners don't care about your last name. They're making fun of me because I couldn't say anatomy. See, I still can't say it. I've heard you both say it, right? And I still can't say the word.
Can you do it again at the end of the show before we go out? Because I want to hear that one more time.
Just one more time.
Yeah, please.
We'll let you do it.
That's great.
All that at the beginning before the intro music, though, when everybody was like, who is this voice talking about Snell? Yeah.
Oh, Benny Snell.
Talking about some Snell, yes. So we've got more rookie camp news.
More rookie camp news?
Yeah. But... We've got to get to Elijah Moore, because so if anybody didn't know, Feverish Fanero and Jason did the Elijah Moore Rookie Fever player profile.
Clearly one of the most popular
Elijah
ones.
Elijah Moore injury.
It was an easy one to do.
It was by far the most popular ones. I didn't want to say before the show because I didn't want to make you guys nervous, but the chemistry on that show was amazing.
I agree.
So
yeah
I agree with that too.
Shit, how am I going to do this tonight with these guys?
I just keep going back, and Jason and I talked about this as Elijah Moore's popularity just continues to grow. Is I looked back at that date and it was late March. Where Jason and I were trying to calm each other down because we were too excited about Elijah Moore. And
see,
it's,
you try to sound like you're excited, but I'm gonna butt in here because these guys are kind of, I'll just say it. I mean, they have Elijah Moore still below Bateman and Devonta Smith. So I don't feel like you like him a lot.
Oh, well, he was never in that conversation, though. Not even close to that conversation. We were hoping that this is somebody you could snatch up in, like, late second round.
That's what
we were
hoping
drafts.
For.
It got out of hand. And now with all this camp news, like, he's the second coming. It's too much now. Like, it's a little out of hand now. We can talk about why. But, Swags knows I've been trying to snatch him up everywhere I can. And now it's almost impossible to trade for him. It's really tough. Nobody wants to let go.
Why is it too much?
Well, I mean, too much because, like, we don't – there's a lot there not to like, right? There's a bunch of wide receivers. We have Corey Davis over there. They re-signed slot receiver, help me out, that everybody loves.
Jamison Crowder?
Yeah, they re-signed Crowder. We were all hoping he would go away. He's still there. Denzel Mims seems like somebody we don't have to worry about, but was for a bit. And I don't think that's a little overreported as well. And then who's Wilson? You know, I mean, there's a lot of, you know, and then the Jets have been bad for a very, very long time. So it's, there's a lot to not like. I mean, when we were going on and on about him, I think Jason had put a pretty realistic, you know, prediction out there. And it's like, I don't know, maybe he gets 500 yards and a few touchdowns. You know, so I think the excitement's a little bit over that. if I had to check the temperature.
Just a smidgen.
If I had to check the temperature of Elijah Moore. So it's one of those things. And Jason, I mean, while we're on the topic, I mean, and I keep hearing about his size. And I know from maybe a BMI standpoint, he's fine. But he is a smaller wide receiver. He's a slot wide receiver. He's probably never going to be a number one. A very clear no. Yet everyone's treating him like Swags is ready. Like, well, you don't like him as much as the top two wide receivers in this class or the top three wide receivers in this class. It's like, that's where it's gone. Like
the perceived top wide receivers in this
class. Perceived. Yes. Thank you. You know what I mean? Like he doesn't, you know, he never should have sniffed that. And that's where he is at now. I mean, I think you can share it with the Swags. I think you're putting out some polls recently through Rookie Fever's handle. And I believe you put Elijah Moore. Did you put Elijah Moore up there yet?
Yeah, he's ran on some. Let me open that up.
Who was he up against? Because I believe it was a bigger name, like Waddle, or I think it might have been Waddle. And he was winning. And I'm not a huge Waddle concerns me, but
We allowed Elijah Moore to go up against Jalen Waddle, and Elijah Moore is currently winning that 56% to Jalen Waddle's 46%.
Wow!
Right? Exactly.
Wow!
Exactly. Like I just feel like that's a weird place for him to be right now.
It is a weird place for sure. I mean, right now, if you look at it, Jalen Waddle landed in what could be the best opportunity as well. First off, he went in the top 10, right? At what did he go? At six or something like that?
Six was Chase, right?
Maybe 11.
Oh, did he? Because I thought Devontae Smith is the one that went out of the top 10.
You're right. Like 12 or something. You're right. Waddle was the second wide receiver picked in this year's draft.
Yeah.
Right after Chase. So maybe he's eight. You're right. He's right up there. Yeah. Super high draft capital.
Yeah. Right. And he goes with the quarterback that he played with in college to get that. So the chemistry is already there. Two young guys, got Tua, you got Waddle. They understand each other's game. They've played together, you know, and if you're going to maximize the potential of a receiver, you might as well, you know, put him with a quarterback he's played with before. And that's the perfect scenario. Now it's just, can Waddle stay healthy and maximize his upside that way? Can he stay in the field and do everything he was supposed to do while he was Alabama that we never got a chance to see? We want to see that 1,000 yard season from a guy like him, whether it, you know, from scrimmage, get us as many yards as possible with those opportunities. That's what we want to see. So the fact that Elijah Moore, in an offense that we're still questioning, we have no idea what it's going to look at, regardless of the skill set that we believe in, is that much higher than Waddle. That's kind of crazy to me.
Just to clean that up real quick, Swags, I'll let you go. He's the sixth overall pick, Jalen Waddle.
So he was. Okay.
Yeah.
But then ahead, we Swags. Say an offense so we don't really know what it's going to look like. And, I mean, how does that make you feel about Devonta Smith?
You know what? I don't know what to think of Devonta Smith right now. Yeah, I don't know what to think of Devonta Smith. Like I said, we can believe in the skill sets all we want. It's how they're going to be used, what the quarterback play is going to look at, and the Eagles are that is not the spot I was hoping for at all. I don't think anybody expected him to fall out of the top 10. So that was never even something we were thinking, is that he'd be with the Eagles and be with Jalen Hurts. But again, I think the scenario of playing with Jalen Hurts is something that we can hang our hat on because they've done that before.
Right.
You know, they know each other. They've been in the same system. So it's very similar to Tua. And that is something that I'm just holding dear, is the fact that that chemistry is there and they're going to be looking for one another to understand what they've already done in the past together. So that's the hope.
I caught a I caught a little bit of tonight's preseason game when Hurts was out there, and he
Looked too good.
Yeah, he looked like there was going to be some issues long term.
Yeah, but, Joe Flacco looked better, so that's concerning.
But with all that being said, it's a small sample size.
Right.
Flacco might be available on waivers.
Yeah, Flacco technically has a 79-yard touchdown.
Oh, jeez.
Wow. Jason, yeah. Do you tend to be, because Jason does a lot of Devy, obviously, you guys can tell from the introduction, but do you tend to be an Aegis when it comes to actual, like, let's say a non-Devy league within your startups and how you manage your dynasty teams? Or how do you feel about some of that? Like a player like, man, I'm trying to get Keenan Allen out of my head, but that's the one that keeps coming into my head. Like somebody that you know is going to be productive, turns 30 next year. Like where do you start to put these guys with an aging vet like Keenan Allen? Julio's a little bit too far gone. Mm-hmm. Just age-wise.
Yeah, I think Keenan Allen's at the perfect spot for me. Right. Well, here's what I'll say. If I'm contending, I'm not looking to get rid of him because I think the Chargers are going to be throwing all over the place. And so if I am thinking about getting rid of him, I'm doing it probably in the middle of the season if my team isn't doing well, or I'm doing it after the season because I do think he's going to have a fantastic productive season with Herbert. I really do. I like that offense. I think the Chargers are going to just be throwing it all over the place. Regardless, I do think Eckler is going to have, you know, massive production on the ground. I like what that offense is going to deliver. So I look at that and I'm thinking I got to get younger at this point. So I look for the seasons where I can get the most value from a veteran. And I use that to try to get younger and maybe go into a package deal with not a CeeDee Lamb. You're not getting a CeeDee Lamb right now.
Right.
But a guy that I do believe in, that I want to make sure I do have, because I see that year three breakout on the horizon. I want to make sure I have him and a few picks to set myself up and get the max value out of a guy like Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
So I'll be looking for, you know, the guys that I believe in. I've watched in college for a couple of years that I have the productive profile, that have the analytical profile, that I believe in the film. And if they bust, they bust. But everything is telling me that they're going to do well. I'm going to try to get them on my rosters and trade for those veterans and trade the veterans away. I mean,
Jalen Waddle or Keenan Allen?
Oh, Keenan Allen. And here's why I will say that. I think that Keenan Allen's still 30, but his skill set as a route runner does allow him to have a few more good years. I think he's not your contested catch, big body receiver that we have to worry about the agility and everything going away already. He is a skilled receiver that understands the nuance of route running. I think he still has another 5 or 6 good years in him. So in saying that, I'm always going to be looking to get younger because I want those extensions. And if I can get max value for a player, like I said, I want to get max value for a veteran and get as much as I can from it. But Waddle is already a little bit older. He didn't produce the way I wanted him to at Alabama for me to feel comfortable with how he's going to translate possibly. And I'm still trying to figure out the Dolphins offense with Tua, you know, so I'd rather go with what I do know.
Yeah. And I think you're right, especially about with Keenan Allen's route running. I think he's going to be around a while. He's such a smart guy.
Emmanuel Sanders is a perfect example.
Is how the biggest problem with Keenan Allen is he's always been good, and people just acted like they caught on last year. So he had this weird like value increase that most like 29 to 30 year olds don't get when they've really he's been doing it for years. And if you really look at, even with that good year with, I think he had 147 targets last year and missed two games, he still like was a lot of the categories were under all of his like last few years. Like it was, he regressed with Herbert. And I think that part of it was people liked Herbert more than Phillip Rivers at this point. And then he had this weird value increase for somebody his age. That's my only thing, man. So it's kind of just an oddity.
Keenan was this
window to get rid of a 29-year-old wide receiver.
Keenan was interviewed just this week and he was asked, you know, what makes you a successful wide receiver? And he gave a one word answer and he said, creativity.
Yeah, I believe that. I can see that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. He's just a technician. Like what he does at the line, like that's the stuff that other wide receivers, younger wide receivers, that these rookies should be studying. Like
absolutely.
That's what makes him great. And that's something that, to Jason's point, that you can hold on for 30, 31, 32, 33 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. If they are intelligent and they can create for themselves and separate, and the release at the line of scrimmage is vitally important as well. And he has that down with so many different moves. He knows exactly how to use foot fire perfectly, two step, three step. I mean, he knows what to do. And if you can separate at the line of scrimmage, you're going to last a long time in the NFL.
Any of these rookies capable of that? Any of these 2021 rookies capable of something like that?
You know what? Bateman is one that I think is, and the injury, that groin injury, I will say is concerned. It's a groin, I believe.
Yeah, they're calling it a core muscle surgery that he's going to go through. But yeah, they were saying groin all week. So
that part does scare me a little bit, because those soft tissue injuries within the area that you are going to be doing such sudden movements can play mind games with you too, because even when you get healthy, you're going to be concerned and maybe start doing things a little bit different so you don't get injured again. And so you'll be a little bit more conservative. That part, it's more the mind than the actual injury is what's concerning. So I'm hoping that doesn't happen to him. But Bateman is definitely one I feel I can. Devonta Smith, absolutely. That dude is a technician at the line of scrimmage and within his breaks at the top of his route. So he's another one. Even Waddle. I mean, both of them are outstanding. I would say Waddle got a little bit more space than I saw Devonta. I'm still not sure about Waddle with his release moves, but the initial acceleration, his speed release, that's going to be key for him. So I would say those three come to mind right away. Even Elijah Moore, as much as we're talking about him, he played a lot in space. So I am not sure how he's going to do against press coverage or his release at the line of scrimmage against bigger body defenders. That is something to be seen. But the good news is, as you and I have talked about when we had the discussion with him, is that he can be moved around. So if there is trouble on the outside, he can be moved anywhere. They can put him on an end around. There's a bunch that you can do with Elijah Moore.
That's the good news. The bad news is every single wide receiver you mentioned has been injured at one point.
That's so bad. It's so bad.
Waddle found limping. Yeah. Smith isn't playing in his preseason games, missing 2 to 3 weeks. Bateman, we just talked about, is having freaking surgery. Like, the list goes on and on and on. I'd rather these rookies be, I really would love this show to be more about when Elijah Moore wasn't hurt, right? And he was shining in camp, or a guy I know you want to hit tonight, Jason Dimey Brown, who's starting to get a little bit more of your interest. I'd rather have that kind of news than the camp news that we seem to be reporting tonight, which is a lot of rookie wide receivers getting hurt.
Yeah, that's not what you want to hear about, especially at the beginning. And, we never got a chance to have this last season where we had the concerns, because there wasn't really a training camp or a situation where they could get injured. It was all, within live game. So now it's almost like, okay, well, I wanted preseason, I wanted training camp, and now I'm a little disappointed that I'm watching this happen. So it's like, it's a double-edged sword. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
No, and then there's the flip side of it, too. And I thought about this last night, Finero, because I remember having this conversation with you last COVID year on Rookie Fever, when we kind of mentioned, like, one kind of odd good thing about not having preseason and all this is you also didn't get hyped about the wrong players for some of the wrong things, like Amir Abdullah, or just certain things, like where you're just all of a sudden like, oh my gosh, like, because I was looking back even through some hype players over the last 6 years that haven't really panned out in the NFL, and we really didn't have that quite as much last year outside of Devi to Rookie Fever, and obviously Twitter and talk and stuff, but you didn't have any of this stuff. So it's interesting to see Rookie Fever. Honestly,
You're right. You were talking about just earlier today, Swags, about how, like, it's almost crazy how even national news has Rookie Fever. Like, it seems like everyone's really focusing on these rookies. I mean, they're not helping by getting injured, but there's a lot of hype surrounding them, and some of that is because of the Justin Jeffersons, and you remember when it used to be 3 years to wait for a wide receiver? That's not true, and it just simply isn't true anymore. Mm-hmm. It's not just the outlier that is Justin Jefferson. Like, you're getting earlier production from these guys, and people want to predict who it is, because that makes you look real good and it makes you feel right. which we were talking about.
News is rookie catches, though, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like no vet catches the ball. Like,
what, is Sammy Watkins catching balls over there in Baltimore? I didn't see any.
Hey. Nah.
Who is catching balls right now? Is it, you know what? Good thing Brown's you brought back. Baltimore up. I'm curious to see with these injuries to the Ravens receivers, if Tylan Wallace can get some opportunity. I want to see if he can actually showcase himself in this preseason and allow himself the opportunity to fill in for one of those starters if needed. Doesn't sound like they're very high on Miles Boykin anymore. And Tylan Wallace, man, he was dynamo in college. And I think that he would be great.
Why do you think he dropped so far?
The injury.
Okay.
There was a couple other things that going on with him in college. I can't remember, but he had a pretty bad injury that he had to sustain. And it looked like he came back and he was healthy. But, you know, a lot of times there's so much that we don't know about that NFL teams are trying to figure out that, you know, I've been high on a lot of guys in the past that should be productive. And I'm trying to figure out, why did you go in the 6th and 7th round? Like, what didn't I know about your profile that your film screamed and your analytics screamed at me that you'd be good? So sometimes you just really never know.
I think we
unfortunately.
Hit our, I think we hit our contractual obligation for the word injury in this episode. I mean, it might.
Well, yeah, we should probably talk about some positive news, don't you think?
Let's regress then. Fennell, you brought up Dyami Brown.
Yes. Yeah. So I asked Jason before hopping on. I said, you know, hey, there's we're going to talk about, you know, pretty much everyone's fair game here, but we're going to lead with rookie news. And I asked him what one guy, you know, out of the whole class that, you know, that you would want to talk about. Mm-hmm. So we just threw up. I found Ben Standing of The Athletic. Dyami is working with Fitzpatrick. It's been amazing. This is from Dyami Brown directly. Fitzpatrick calls him. It's the first call he gets after being drafted. And he said he hit him up on the phone and all they were talking about was deep balls. And then immediately after that, you're starting to hear from Jordan Reed that, yes, he's getting rave reviews for his deep ball, but he actually really is working hard to be known for something more than just that. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to just be labeled as a deep ball guy. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was fun to catch those two different things. One is, you know, Dyami Brown talking about Fitzpatrick calling him, like literally like the first call he gets from anyone on the team is the quarterback. That's pretty special. And then special. And then immediately going to deep balls, which we know Fitzpatrick likes to do. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that wasn't good enough, you know, like there's this fire in him where he wants to be a complete wide receiver. I like hearing that from a young guy. So I'm curious, like, you know, we didn't discuss this with Jason at all. Jason just said, hey, you know, there's a guy that's kind of turning my head a little bit I want to talk about. Jason, why did you want to talk about Dyami Brown?
So here's why I want to talk about him. It's one thing to watch a receiver in college and know, okay, all I really see you do is go deep. Like, I know that you can, you know, at the line of scrimmage, you have deception and manipulation. Even within your route, you can do a sluggo, you know, fake a slant and still head and, you know, on the 9 route and go deep and catch the ball. I never saw him actually run a route tree where I felt like he could separate within an out route or anything like that against NFL competition. So the reason I started getting, you know, pretty excited about what I've been seeing from the film of, you know, training camp is me and my buddy Vern, who we do the sophomore leap with the Scouting Academy, we just got done with a film session of Brandon Ayuk. And Brandon Ayuk was that same guy. He ran hitches and ran goes, and that's all he did. Brandon Ayuk ran almost a full route tree last year for the San Francisco 49ers, showing that he can separate at the top of his route, has manipulation. We watched him against Tre'Davious White. Did good for a rookie. Watched him against Jalen Ramsey. Couldn't believe that he could get away from Jalen Ramsey off the line of scrimmage. So when I see a receiver who's doing things that I did not see him do in college early in their careers, and I know it's just training camp, but I never saw Dyami Brown do the stuff I'm watching him do right now, I'm already intrigued, because that's just telling me that he is working hard to master a craft that he never got the opportunity to do in college. And that tells me a lot about work ethic too. So I'm very interested in Dyami Brown at this point.
Dyami Brown or Nico Collins, another guy that's in camp news quite a bit.
I would say right now Nico Collins, and the reason is because I love the combination of size, speed, athleticism that Nico Collins brings. Never got a chance to be unleashed at Michigan. There's so much untapped upside. And it's, of course, it's the quarterback play.
Yep.
I question who his quarterback is going to be, but the fact that he's that size and allows a good catch radius, so if it is an erratic pass, he's able to make a good adjustment and has the catch radius to, you know, secure the ball. I feel much better about that than Dyami Brown, who doesn't have the catch radius and is still trying to master a craft of not just being a deep ball threat.
Right. And then to your point, we're going to see, most likely going to see Nico Collins, as the camp news for him is that he's seeing, in quotes, plenty of first team reps. I think we also had, I think we had Cooks rave about him in a press conference saying, this guy seems way older than a rookie to me. We reported on that last week. Nico Collins is popping up again here. And again, that requisite size, I think he's 6'4", right?
6'3", 6'4", somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's got those analytics that people like too. 94th percentile catch radius, 77th percentile burst score. He's got all that stuff that analytic people like to see. And then what we at Rookie Fever like to see, because it's the thing that we get, you know, to talk about when these people finally hit the, or when these players finally hit the field, which is opportunity. He's got that too. He's got that too. Where Dyami Brown, I mean, you got McLaurin, you got Samuel. It's going to be tougher for us.
There's
to
a situation
get a picture.
Where, it's not going to be as immediate. They have Fitzpatrick, but when was the last time Fitzpatrick played a full season again? When was the last time he didn't get benched for somebody else?
Yeah. You're on the right show.
2015 to answer your question.
I don't know.
He's only done that three times in his career. I can answer anything you want to know. Yeah, the last time.
Let's get excited for a month, guys.
Yeah,
and Tyler Henneke. Let's see him come in and do the rest.
Yeah, that too. Like you mentioned, like you and I know you said Nico Collins is the guy you want, and I agree with you. We were talking about this earlier, and I said all that in the Rookie Fever chat. And but I mean, do we know Tyrod Taylor's that much worse than Ryan Fitzpatrick?
Well, no, you're right. We don't really know, but I think the upside of who Fitzpatrick has, you know, it's who he's driving on offense with Terry McLaurin and
Curtis Samuel
and Dyami Brown. These are speed guys.
Yeah.
And these are, you know, Curtis Samuel is a versatile weapon. He could play all over the field as well. You know, those players fit what Fitzpatrick does best. And that's why we can get excited. It's just, how long is that going to last? Are we going to see a new trend from a guy who the trend in history has not been very favorable to him being on the field for a long enough time to be fantasy relevant for us?
He's a 38-year-old breakout, Jason.
Yeah. come on, guys. What are we talking about here?
The thing is, though, it's just what happens. It's kind of like what we were saying about the media and Rookie Fever and how it happens. Mm-hmm. Because we actually do a show called Rookie Fever, and you're more than welcome to come on sometime, Jason.
I would love to. Thanks, guys.
Sounds like a great name.
It's really similar to Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they see him with like all this swagger at the press conferences, and the dude seems so cool. And I think that it has increased his fantasy value and kind of put blinders on to what you mentioned there. Like, when was the last time this guy played a full season? And people don't want to go in and look at that. And it was 6 years ago. Three times in his career, he's played 16 games. That's not that good. 16-year career. His 17th, do you think he's going to actually play 17 games?
That's the hope, right? That's what everybody's hoping for. But I just don't see it happening. But do they really bench him for somebody else? Like, who is on that roster that is...
You said it. It's Taylor Heinicke.
But is it, though? Like, are they really that comfortable saying, we're going to bench Fitzpatrick and bring this kid in? Even though I don't know. Do you guys see the score at all? Did you see him play at all tonight?
I saw
the
box score.
It looked okay for a minute. I didn't really get a chance to watch it.
I didn't get a chance to see it.
But before there was someone else, I feel like, that they could bring in for him. I'm curious to see if they go that route. That's the only thing that makes me think he'll play more than we have seen. I just still don't see a full season. And we just added a game to this schedule. Are you kidding me? He's not playing a full season. That'd be crazy. That'd be a record for him.
Are you guys concerned about Ja'Marr Chase?
No.
No.
No, not at all.
No.
And here's why. First off, guys, you got to remember, he sat out a full year. It's been a while since he's played. And my expectations...
Same with Nico, sorry.
Yeah, same with Nico. So my expectations are, you come in and you're going to be a little bit rusty. And I always use this to get everybody focused and back on track to the reality of things. What if you've been out of work for over a year, you get a new job? When was the last time you got a new job and you were dynamic at that job day one? It does not happen. You don't know what you're doing. You got to learn how everything goes. You got to learn a whole new system. You got to get chemistry with your staff. It's just like there's such a learning curve, especially when you've been out of it for a little while. Give him time. He's so skilled and dynamic. This is training camp, guys. Like it's too much. What? Maybe go trade for him. See what you can get if this is happening. That's what I'd be doing.
Yeah, I love it. And I feel like you had a perfect segue. And I feel like all you wanted to do was mention Tyrell Williams and how he hasn't played football in more than a year. And how the guy to have there is Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Well, it really should be. I don't know why everybody has been down on him for so long. I don't even understand why they were down on him during the draft process. All this kid did was produce at USC at a high level. You know, he might not be the fastest, but he understands how to run routes. He might not be the quickest, but he has good, fast mental processing to see the field, understand pursuit angles, and know how to evade them. So I saw that in college. I feel pretty good about Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now, he's one that I think, you know, you can say this about a lot of rookies. It's just that first contract. That's all we want to get through, right? When you draft a player, you're just looking to get through those first 4 to 5 years and then possibly trading or understanding, hey, I got a bust, I'm going to move on. But he's a guy that he's got the immediate opportunity. There's nobody else there. You know, I'm excited about Amon-Ra St. Brown. I absolutely am. And I think he's going to be more of a touchdown guy than a lot of people think. I really do.
I have camp news, Swags, that's not on the show sheet. In the Washington Patriots game this evening, there's one rookie that led all running backs in yards and all wide receivers in yards. Can you name him?
Patterson?
Yeah. Jared Patterson shining in preseason with 10 carries for 40 yards, 4 receptions for an additional 30.
You know, and that's without Lamar Miller taken away from Gibson, Peyton Barber taken away from Gibson, McKissick taken away from Gibson.
That doesn't surprise me for what he can do. I don't think he's an NFL starter by any means.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like
but it. But it doesn't surprise me that he would shine in preseason.
Heinicke was 9 for 15 for 86, going back to that.
All right.
Say that again for me.
Heinicke was 9 for 15. And 86 yards. No touchdowns, no interceptions.
Nice. I guess we could take the no INTs as a win there.
Yeah.
At this point.
Fitzpatrick was 5 for 8, 58 yards.
Yeah. Yeah. With that stat, was there anybody else that played?
Yes. Steven Montez.
Ooh.
6 okay. for 10. 6 for 10 and threw the only interception in the game.
Yeah. All right. I'm telling you guys, that's the only thing I think might be the saving grace for Fitzpatrick is you're benching him for who? If they sign another veteran before the season starts, I'd be a little bit more, I'd be like, okay, maybe 4 to 5 games, Fitzpatrick's gone, but I just don't see that happening.
To Swags' point, I don't think you're going to have to bench him. He's going to bench himself with a real injury.
Yeah. We'll see. Or they're just going to run, and we can get really excited about Gibson.
Swags won't.
No, if it happens, it happens. I'll be here for it. I mean, I'll be watching like everybody else. I'll eat some crow. I mean, but what do we mean here? What does that mean? I mean, is he going to be an RB2? Is he going to fulfill like the lofty ADP expectations, or are people just going to think they're right when he's RB22 and all the people that they've drafted him in front of are doing better? You know, what is right in an Antonio Gibson situation? I think that he can be a viable asset in the NFL and in fantasy. There's no way that you're getting me to take him over Dobbins, Swift. I'll even take Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know what I mean? Any of those guys, though, like to me, like it's another one of those situations where I don't think people have looked at it that close.
Yeah, he's RB10 and probably RB9 in ADP because Akers is there, so you can't keep him there. So that would make him RB9 to your point, Swags. That's the lofty goal that people are kind of giving to him.
It's going to be the touches. You know, if he gets anywhere between 18 and 20 touches and 2 to 3 receptions a game, I mean, you'll be excited to have him. And do you think DeAndre Swift gets that? I had Swift as my RB1 coming out because I believed in the talent so much, but I didn't when he landed on the lines, I was like, well, crap, you know, and now he's dealing with an injury. He's missed substantial time. And they're talking about, I think it was Jamal Williams getting a lot of, you know, the carries as well, and especially in the end zone. I think
Jamal Williams gets the ball much.
We'll see. But I think that I would go for a guy with like Gibson, who I know has a route to more touches at that point. I don't see anybody really challenging him too much.
I mean, Gibson was RB 12 or 13 with 10 starts. And then you have Swift, who played, I think, one more game, started only four, and he was RB 20 behind Adrian Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. Like, I don't think that we got to... I don't know. I could see 18 to 22 touches for Swift with the receiving game and on the ground. I don't think Williams is going to...
I'm talking about his injury right now has me a little concerned and how much time he's missing so far. That's my concern right now. I think I'd rather have a healthy Gibson than a injured Swift at this point, especially with the offense.
But I mean, is Swift's injury that bad, or is it just kind of keeping him out of...
You know, I haven't really had a chance to watch the reports. I just don't like the amount of time he's missing. And I believe I heard it was a soft tissue. And again, that bothers me if it is. So I'm going to be looking for the healthy players over the ones that are already injured at this point. I've learned my lesson. I'd rather flip that coin and win with a healthy guy and go down with the ship, even if I chose wrong.
Yeah, so it's a groin injury.
Yeah. Ugh, man, see, it's the cutting. It's the cutting. That bothers me. Yep. I'd rather have Gibson. That can linger and it can reoccur. So, and you're talking about a guy who absolutely loves Swift. Like, I love the kid. I think he's so talented. But you got to look at all the context.
But there's a lot of context too, like the fact that there's nobody really left the situation that Antonio Gibson get. I mean, they get a healthy Peyton Barber back, whether people like it or not. He's going to get some time.
McKissick
had more targets than any running back in the league last year. I think that most NFL teams would probably rather have Adrian Peterson than Jamal Williams, even at this state in their career. And AP's gone. I don't know if vacated touches is a thing, but I think that there's more room for Swift's opportunity to go up than there is Gibson's. And then, I mean, Lamar Miller's had a good camp, and that's everybody's like, that's so gross, why do you care? But I don't, but Washington might as a team. And I think that's all these little things. Like, I just think that the targets aren't going to be there for Gibson like people think they're going to be. I don't think Gibson is who people want him to be. 20% of Gibson's workload came in 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
Week 12. After week 12, Gibson didn't have another touchdown. He was one of the most inconsistent rookie running backs last year.
Well going back like to
top running backs.
Yeah, going back to ADP, obviously, like, you know, recent news taints everything. And then obviously...
Right, and it's really ADP that I'm talking about the most.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say...
No, go ahead.
But I was just going to say, I think I would take Dobbins over Gibson.
Oh, right. Yes. Now. Yes.
And there's a chasm in ADP between those two.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So I think that's right. So
I'm all in on Dobbins.
Yeah. And I think the Swift discussion's this harder to have right now because of that injury, because of the camp time miss, because it's the top thing on our mind right now. But for Dobbins to be RB 15 and Antonio Gibson to be RB 8. I mean, that's a really big difference.
Yeah.
And I'll take Dobbins 10 out of 10 times.
10 out of 10 times for me too. Yeah. I'll just go back real quick.
Gibson and get Dobbins plus.
Yeah. What was that, Jason?
No, I was just, I'm real quick. Gibson is another one coming out of college. He never was really a true running back. And the whole time I'm saying there's no offseason for this kid. What are you guys expecting him to do in year one as a rookie when he never actually played the position and he's got no offseason or training camp to benefit, and he went out there and did what he did? Again, it's the same thing as Diami Brown and Brandon Ayuk. When I see players do things that I didn't think they were even capable of doing and they learn a position fast, I'm going to be even more excited about their future. So that's why another reason where – and he was a receiver at Memphis. Yeah, so I'm telling you, I wasn't a believer. I was a huge believer in Swift. So if you're going to take it from anybody who had one way above the other, and I'm rotating that, you know, that's kind of where I am.
I mean, I guess, and I get what you're saying, but the part of that I mean, just because Antonio Gibson can learn that position doesn't mean that Swift can't, or Swift's not already better at that position.
Oh, no. And I'm not challenging talent whatsoever.
Is the situation.
It's situation, and right now it's health. The groin injury just bothers me with Swift. And I think we've had too many times, you guys have had players on your teams where, you know, those nagging injuries, you know, and, you know, you're just hoping when they play the next game that they don't get injured. You don't want to deal with that. You really don't. And I don't want to deal with that. If Antonio Gibson gets injured week one, well, I went into it with a healthy running back and he got hurt. But if DeAndre Swift gets injured week one and he was injured during training camp and I knew about the injury, well, then I just got egg on my face.
Mm-hmm. And see, my honest hope, though, is that Swift gets healthy, Antonio Gibson stays healthy.
Oh, for sure.
And we see what happens with a total healthy season.
Of course. Me too.
I am never like even with my takes where I clearly like Swift more here, I don't feel like, oh, see, you should have had Swift I don't have to have this debate anymore because Antonio Gibson is down for the year. I'd rather watch it all year. I'd rather be wrong and watch it all year than right with an injury.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'll kind of finish it with this year for redraft. I'm definitely going to be going Gibson over Swift. In Dynasty, there's no question I'm going Swift. He's just vastly more talented, and that's kind of where I can leave that.
My head was the entire time, to be fair.
Yeah. Okay, so yep. I can understand.
So we kind of agree, yeah.
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 We kind of agree.
Well, just to keep the injury bug moving.
Do we have to?
Yeah, Hunter Long was carted off the field.
Trying to talk about the guys that weren't hurt.
Yeah, but you know what? We've talked about Swift for the last 10 minutes and a groin injury. He's cool.
He's kind of a cool guy. Yeah.
The reason I want to go to this injury, besides the easy segue, is I was curious because Hunter Long, before this injury, and I was surprised a little bit because I think it was Brevin Jordan, Freiermuth, and then, of course, Pitts. They were the three going into the draft. And then Brevin Jordan dropped a ton. And now it feels like the third name, oddly enough, is Hunter Long. Mm-hmm. And he's behind Gesicki, right? And we don't know what Tua is. I think a lot of people are optimistic about Tua, but, you know, and maybe even Miami because they are on the up. But I was curious, Jason, what you thought of the talent in college coming in, because to be quite honest, Hunter Long, he was any mock I had done, and I did close to 100 mocks before because I was trying to gather ADP data. Hunter Long was drafted and he was in the mix. He was always after
Brevin Jordan. Draft capital.
Yeah, he got the draft capital. Yeah. And I'm just curious because the narrative is spinning now towards, well, Gesicki's gone, this is going to be Hunter Long's job. Is Hunter Long that talented? Because Gesicki pretty much is too. Why would they let Gesicki go?
Yeah, I don't know why they would let him go because honestly, his athleticism was off the chart.
Through the roof.
And the thing with him, he played very soft at Penn State, even though the athleticism was there. So that part bothered me and other evaluators I know a little bit because you don't want to see that. You want to see a guy with that alpha mentality with that type of athleticism. But as we saw that he was productive when he was on the field in the NFL, I don't really know why they would want to move on from him, but I never really expected much from Hunter Long. I never expect much from any tight ends for 3 to 4 years anyway.
Sure. Sure.
So he's a guy that I was just kind of snagging in my fourth rounds, whatever, to put on the practice squad, see what happens. And you know what, if it works out, awesome. If not, I didn't really lose anything. Cause a lot of times I'm dropping my fourth round rookie picks anyway. So what do I care? Third and fourth round, to be honest with you, there's slim pickings at that point. So I don't mind.
And that's kind of how I feel. Right. So I, and when you feel that way about a guy, so he's on your radar, you can get him late. So you have him on probably a bunch of teams too. Right. Yeah. So, but you're not the only one that feels that way. There's plenty of other people talking about Hunter Long. So my real question is this just an overhyped player or does his college production or is there something on your radar when you were looking at him that kind of says, well, he's got some upside though.
Oh, he's got upside. Yeah.
I get why he was drafted. I don't love the situation and who he's behind right now, but we all know that can change overnight. We had a whole show about how quickly that can change. Yes. But I just wanted to, just as a prospect, Hunter Long.
Hunter Long is a prospect. He was very, very productive at Boston College. As a matter of fact, he was either the number one target or the secondary with in targets behind Zay Flowers. And not until last year when Phil Jurkovec actually became the starting quarterback and they actually had some good quarterback play, did it really pop out to me that, you know, this kid could definitely be an NFL tight end. Like, he plays very well. He understands route running, a little bit stiff, but he has enough speed and agility to make it work. And if you really think about the tight end position, and I'm just going to go use this term and use this player, I don't want us to get off the tracks, but Adam Trautman, I'm sorry, he's not as athletic as everybody says he is, but all it takes is to get a guy on a hitch route or a simple drag or a shallow slant or something like that, or a shallow cross, get him in the middle of the field in those soft spots of zone coverage, let him get the ball, turn up field and get as many yards as possible, right? That's all it really takes for a tight end at that point. You have to be able to block a little bit, which he can do. So I thought to myself, yes, he was vastly productive. He showed that he can be a number one. He showed the receiving ability. I'm interested. You know, is he going to get the draft capital? He got it. Awesome. Well, you still have Adam Shaheen there. You still have Mike Gesicki. He wasn't going to get any playing time, guys, so it didn't really matter. Yeah, so right. At this point, I don't really care if he's injured right now. If he's injured 3 years from now, well, then yeah, I'm worried about it. But if he's not, okay, great. He's on my taxi squad. He's on my practice squad. Maybe I'll be able to bring him up and he'll be viable. That's kind of how I feel about him. You know, but like Hunter Bryant out of Washington, loved him. He's behind T.J. Hockenson on the Lions right now. But I had him as one of my top three tight ends coming out because I saw Evan Engram in him. Josh Oliver went to the Jaguars. I loved him coming out of college. You know, he's stuck on the Ravens behind all those other guys. So tight end is just a position that you don't take in Devy. I'm starting I wrote an article about that. Mm-hmm. And you just get him in rookie drafts later on, put him on your squads and see what happens unless they go in the first round.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that.
And they're so available too, even because we're in a two tight end league even, and some of those guys are so available just to scoop up even mm-hmm. after the Devy draft has gone through. You can still scoop up some of those grosser names. And the truth is, like, there was a Tua and Gesicki connection happening before Gesicki got a little banged up in camp too.
Yeah, so. I read that too.
Yep.
So Jason, overhyped on the Hunter Long.
I think so too.
We do have a little fun plan for you this evening. Not that this wasn't fun. This is
I'm having a blast. Extraordinary. Keep it going.
Just wait.
Yeah, Jason. So it sounds like the Swags has given me the cue here to bring mm-hmm. back an old favorite game called Family Feud.
You said you got it ready. I don't think we can not do it.
Yeah, I have it ready. Oh, you could have not do it. I'm glad you're bringing it back though, because it's always a lot of fun.
Let's do something else.
So you're familiar with the Family Feud, right? So top five answers are on the board. We asked 100 people a question, try to guess the top questions on the board. These are not fantasy. This is a straight up Family Feud. It's just a little fun. Just a little fun on the way out. I picked a nice and amusing one for us to have fun with. So now the way it works is I do have five, right? Okay. You get three strikes. So you can guess as many times, but you only get three wrong answers. If you don't get all five, then we send it over to Swags for the steal.
Got it.
All right.
And this is not football related?
This is not football related.
Holy crap. Okay, let's do it.
All right. So Swags, do you have a timer ready?
I'll get
a see. He forgot that part. Already. He's like, "Oh shit! I have to do something for the game. I forgot about that part."
Never notices, but the timer never really plays into this that much. But I'll get a timer.
Yeah, but the timer does play into it with or without, because Jason feels the timer pressure.
All right, I feel so. I will say this: I cannot even recall. It's been a long time with the Family Feud, so this is going to be very interesting, guys.
Oh yeah, you got it, dude. You got it. It's one of the easiest games in the world to play. So when you get one right, it's going to sound like this. When you get one, when you get one wrong.
Oh, you guys are high tech. Let's do this.
I'm gonna start the timer.
All right, he's gonna start the timer at the end of the question. Here we go. You ready, Jason?
No, I started it.
Okay, great. Name something into which people stick thermometers.
Mouth.
Number one answer.
Butt. Armpit.
butt is number two. Armpit, number five.
Ear?
Ear, number four.
Holy jeez. And nose?
It's not going the nose. I don't know anyone that sticks a thermometer in their nose.
The back of the leg, the knee.
Oh, that's good, but...
No? I'm running out of spots.
There's only one left.
Oh, my gosh.
And by the way, it's the number two answer on the board.
Is it really?
Oh, man. Yes. I'll repeat the question.
Between the toes?
All right. That was three strikes. I'm repeating the question again. Name something into which people stick thermometers.
If we're going off a gender thing, there's one other hole I can think of. I don't really know.
Jason, you're out. I'm out. It's Swag's turn to steal.
He said ear.
Yep.
He said
mouth.
Yep.
He said derriere. He said ear. He said armpit.
Okay, so he's on a roll. So, man, I wanted to be outside the box, but I want to get it right in his forehead, right?
No.
Is it meat? Like a thermometer in the meat?
Yes.
It's in the food. What?
I should have said meat.
Food.
That's what I wanted to say the whole time.
It's food.
Oh, my God.
It's food.
You gotta temp check the meat. I'm like thinking of the human anatomy, and I couldn't get away from it.
That's why I had to repeat the question. It did not say, like, where in the body.
Though, yeah, but... you didn't. Yeah, okay, note to self.
I got Jason to say, well, if we're going with female anatomy, there's one more.
It's the title of the show now.
Okay.
It's got
fun.
I would just call the show Who Got Injured.
Jason, before we get out of here, how do you feel about Trey Sermon?
Ooh.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'm probably going to be one of the guys who's a little bit off of him. And the only reason I'm saying that, I don't know why everybody can't remember, you know, Kyle Shanahan and how he uses running backs. I don't understand that he's always rotating. You always have the game going on of not really knowing who the guy is going to be. Not that there's a number one, but who's going to be the most productive running back out of the crew that he's putting out on the field every single week. It's one thing to not have a mobile quarterback in that scenario. Now you're going to have a mobile quarterback in that scenario going along with Kyle Shanahan, who never really allowed us to understand what he was doing on a weekly basis with the running back position. So I'm a little bit off. Once Trey Lance comes in, I'm going to be a little bit concerned. I really am. I just want to know how many carries he's actually going to get. Who's going to be the pass catcher? He can catch the ball. I've seen him do it, and I believe in it. But I am definitely a little bit off of Trey Sermon compared to the ADP that I'm seeing and the hype that I'm seeing as well.
And sticking with the injured theme, the argument that Trey Sermon is going to get time is that all the other running backs on that committee you're talking about get hurt all the time. But Trey Sermon sure has a good little injury history himself in college. Yeah. So,
and if you really think about it,
last time we said that Bateman got hurt.
That should be the name of that. It should be the name of the show.
Who got injured?
But all those players do get hurt, and I think that's part
they
of
do.
The reason there's a rotation for Shanahan's offense. Like,
true.
Because it's always somebody does good.
It's kind of like the chicken
weeks,
or the egg.
Hurt. Yeah. It's the next man up. He does good for a week or two. Sure. Gets hurt. Next man up. And I think he's been searching for somebody.
He found him, Elijah Mitchell.
And that's the thing you got to remember, too. He drafted two running backs in the same draft.
Yeah.
Because of how he operates. He wants the guys that fit his scheme, and he'll keep putting guys out there and get the hot hand going and then still rotate. It's one thing for it to be Kyle Shanahan and how he uses the running backs. Trey Lance is really going to be my biggest concern because he is a dynamic runner and he's going to take away touchdowns and he's going to take away carries. And I have to put that into my frame of mind of how I'm operating with my roster.
Do you guys believe that Trey Lance isn't going to start this year?
What? Oh, he's starting. He's absolutely starting.
Jimmy G's. They're saying G's.
No. So remember when I told you that I just got done with a film study with Brandon Ayuk and I came away really impressed? Most of that was because of how bad Jimmy G was throwing the ball. No anticipation. Zero. Yeah. None. No. There's no way Jimmy G stays on. I would say after 2 to 3 games of this nonsense, and the crowd's going to go crazy telling them to get Trey Lance in there.
No, absolutely. I love it. Like, there were times last year where, like, Nick Mullins or C.J. Beathard, by all means, as good or better than
Nick Jimmy Mullins G. in our film study looked better now than Jimmy G.
Yep. Yeah.
I can tell you that right now.
Go back and look at Kittle's highest production. It wasn't with Jimmy G. It's with any other quarterback.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand this Jimmy G crap. It's got to be a trade value thing. It has to be.
They missed out on being able to trade him to the Patriots for a second, and then the Patriots did the smart thing and drafted Mac Jones, and they called the 49ers bluff, and then they were stuck with Jimmy G because they wanted too much. They're not good. They should have me come to the 49ers just to negotiate trades.
Yeah. When the team that drafted you trades you away and doesn't want you back and still has the same coach and he knows what you can do when they need another quarterback, that tells you everything you need to know.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's a great point.
So it's like, come on. Again, what are we doing here? This is it's ridiculous.
Jason, appreciate having you on a ton. We got to get
you I appreciate on you guys.
A
thank
bit
you
later for some Devy-centric talk.
Yeah.
Later in the
season. Yeah, I look forward to that.
I challenge you to tell them about you better than I did when we came in to the show.
Actually, you nailed everything. It was just the word anatomy. It's not that big of a deal. It's okay. No, but as you said, I'm at devywatch.com. Great group of guys over there. You can find me at All Purpose Scout on Twitter. Doing stuff with the Scouting Academy now, trying to expand my knowledge of, just really focusing on receivers lately, but definitely trying to get every single angle of every position that we study. To get the film down, and I was talking about with the Elijah Moore part, I'm trying to get the analytics down. I'm trying to combine it all into one beautiful package and get a full picture of a player. So it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, with the Scouting Academy, Big Play Anatomy, that'll be coming out this season. We just wrapped up one of our last episodes of Sophomore Leap, telling you who guys are that could definitely break out this season from the rookie season. And Debbie Watch, man, I'm all about the college film. So get on me at Twitter if you want to talk some college too.
Yeah, awesome. These are all great resources. Jason, I reach out to you and Debbie Watch. I know almost everybody that I know in Debbie Leagues is looking at the same exact guy. We got to be careful. But it's what you guys put into that and the work that gets put into it. We talked about the before we got on here about the Happy Meal versus the restaurant. Like, to have access to that kind of information at your fingertips is just so valuable. It's just it's great. So.
Well, I appreciate that. Work. It's fun for us, too. We love it. I mean, we're following these guys from high school. We just started doing our recruiting stuff for 2024 prospects. So it's a lot of fun. I'll tell you what, the receivers, I don't know how the NFL is going to hold them all. I really don't. There's some talented receivers all the way to 2024 class that are about to come out. I don't know where everybody's going to go. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, you killed the outro. You killed Family Feud. You killed the show tonight.
Thank you. Thanks, Jason.
Park TV is he.
That'd be
me. I think you should have some final thoughts tonight just for fun.
Oh, my gosh. Let's see if I'm prepared for final thoughts. All right. So final thoughts. All right. I got it. All right. So everyone listening to tonight's episode, anyone that's going to the Fantasy Football Expo, I will be there. I won't be wearing at Aardvark TV, so you got to look for my Rookie Fever shirt. I'll have that on. But I'm looking forward to meeting as many people as possible at the expo in Canton. I'll be there Saturday and Sunday. Hope to meet anybody and all of you. And it should be a good time.
Love it. And I may or may not be there. I don't really
You better
know.
Be. You better be.
We are at Rookie Fever. I am at Swipe00G. We are out.
And when you put your arms around me, I get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight, fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever. When you hold me tight. Got the fever.
is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now.
Who got the 101 scout and has never done this stupid fool and run? I told you anyone, size and speed just on real landing spot, not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? It's full Rookie Fever stage.
Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon.
Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever.
Thank God for the fever.
Now you got the fever.
What a lovely way to burn.
Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.